Hari
Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahadiryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhi Tamastu Maritvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Prakata Prakata.
Hello.
We thought you were not coming.
No, I came back from the FRO.
I said you went to Calcutta.
No,
FRO
Krishna.
Oh, Krishna. Oh, Krishna. Oh, okay. Yeah, we're thinking that you were feeling separation from Mishti Doi or something.
If I come back from Calcutta, I would look very different.
You
see.
Oh, coming back.
You would look even more Sephardi.
Which is not possible, actually.
You could get more of the tan.
Hue.
Yeah, from the all the smoke in Calcutta.
I discovered today. I wrote a book about it.
Okay. Yeah, ready? Okay. So, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Pantya Lila, Chapter 18, Rescuing the Lord from the Sea. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. In his pastimes, Krishna displayed the two ornaments of... Didn't we just read this? Or we only got that first sentence? No, then they all obeyed. Yeah, but I remember reading that.
Yeah.
Dress and clothes and vintage.
Then after Srinath Radharani, the gopi friends partook of the ladies.
And they arranged for the fruit, so we already did all the fruits. At home? No, we didn't read that. Srimati Radharani made sweetmeats?
Yes.
Amri Tekela Piyusha?
Yes. We did all those sweets.
Really? I don't remember that at all.
Great.
You sure? See, that's not from a different time?
She only poops in that chapter.
Yeah, no.
We can read them again.
In his pastimes, Krishna displayed the two ornaments of hyperbole and reverse analogy. Tasting them brought gladness to my mind and fully satisfied my ears and eyes. After performing such wonderful pastimes, Lord Sri Krishna went up on the shore of the Jamuna River, taking with him all his beloved gopis. Then the gopis on the riverbank rendered service by massaging Krishna and the other gopis with scented oil and smearing paste of amlakli fruit on their bodies. Then they all bathed again, and after put on dry clothing, they went to a small jeweled house where the gopi Vrinda arranged to dress them in forest clothing by decorating them with fragrant flowers, green leaves, and all kinds of ornaments. Yeah, I remember up to there. In Vrindavan, the trees and creepers are wonderful because throughout the entire year they produce all kinds of fruits and flowers. The gopis and maidservants on the bowers of Vrindavan picked these fruits and flowers and brought them before Radha and Krishna. The gopis peeled all the fruits and placed them together on large plates in a platform in the jeweled cottage. They arranged the fruit in orderly rows for eating, and in front of it they made a place to sit. Among the fruits are many varieties of coconuts and mangoes, bananas, berries, jackfruits, dates, tangerines, oranges, blackberries, santaras, grapes. Santaras.
Santra is... The green one?
Yeah.
That's called Santara.
The green. With avocado green is star. Green.
The oranges are like...
Masambi?
Masambi.
Oh, okay. Santara, the Masambi. Okay. Yeah. Grapes, almonds, and all kinds of dried fruit. There were cantaloupes, chiricas, palm fruits, keshuras, water fruits, lotus fruits, bale, pilus, pomegranates, and many others. Some of them are variously known in different places, but in Vrindavan, all of them are always available in so many thousands of varieties that no one can fully describe them. At home, Srimati Radharani had made various types of sweetmeats from milk and sugar, such as Ganga Jala, Amrita Keli, Piyusha Granti, Karpura Keli, Sarapuri, Amriti, Padmachini, and Kanda Kshira Sara Vriksha. She had then brought them all for Krishna. When Krishna saw the very nice arrangement of food, he happily sat down and had a forest picnic. Then, after Srimati Radharani and her gopi friends partook of the remnants, Radha and Krishna lay down together in the jeweled house. Some of the gopis fanned Radha and Krishna, others massaged the feet, and some fed them betel leaves to chew. When Radha and Krishna fell asleep, all the gopis also lay down. When I saw this, my mind was very happy. Suddenly, all of you created a great tumult and picked me up and brought me back here. Where now is the river Jamuna? Where is Vrindavan? Where are Krishna and the gopis? You have broken my happy dream. Speaking in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fully returned to external consciousness. Seeing Swarup Damodar Goswami, the Lord questioned him. Why have you brought me here? He asked. Then Swarup Damodar answered him, you mistook the sea for the Jamuna River, he said, and you jumped into it. You have been carried this far by the waves of the sea. This fisherman caught you in his net and rescued you from the water. Because of your touch, he is now mad with ecstatic love for Krishna. Throughout the night, we all walked about in search of you. After hearing from this fisherman, we came here and found you. While apparently unconscious, you witnessed the pastimes of Vrindavan. But when we saw you unconscious, we suffered great agony in our minds. When we chanted the holy name of Krishna, however, you came to semi-consciousness, and we have all been hearing you speak like a madman. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, in my dream I went to Vrindavan, where I saw Lord Krishna perform the rasa dance with all the gopis. After sporting in the water, Krishna enjoyed a picnic. I can understand that after seeing this, I must certainly have talked like a madman. Thereafter, Swarup Damodar Goswami had Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathe in the sea, and then he very happily brought him back home. Thus I have described the incident of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's falling into the ocean. Anyone who listens to this pastime will certainly attain shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy. Krishnadas narrates Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita following in their footsteps. One thing Prabhupada mentions in one of the Nectar of Devotion classes is that when he says praying at the lotus feet of Rupa and Raghunath, then he says, because Rupa is first, Raghunath's the last of the six, Sri Rupa, Sri, like this. So by saying Sri Rupa, Raghunath, you're meaning all the six Goswamis.
Prabhupada says that.
Yeah. But also specifically he may have special relationship with these two, but it means all of them. I don't remember which one, but it's one of the Nectar devotionals.
There are two things I noticed in the description of the fruit bearing trees. That there's such a variety of fruit that normally they would never grow in the same season. You know, when it's
That's why it says it's
season
always.
Is orange season.
No. That's why it says that they're always available. What was that one thing?
Yeah, they're always all throughout the year.
The trees and creepers are one because throughout the year they produce all kinds of fruits and flowers.
Yeah.
So everything's always available.
Everything's always available. And also, the Prabhupada explained that the trees can produce not just one fruit of that tree, but many fruit from the same tree.
Yeah, it's just whatever you want. I mean, they can also, you know, make a Mercedes Benz, but who's going to ask for that?
Bread.
Huh? Bread, yeah.
But there's one man who did the grafting of different trees, and now one tree produces 40 different fruits.
Mm.
People go, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. one of the arts, 64 arts, is being able to graft the trees and they grow different fruits. So they have certain kinds of fruits, they have ones that are compatible with them.
Yes.
So, I mean, you have the common thing where you have a mango tree and then you have a variety of mangoes on the tree, so all year it's giving different mangoes. But there are fruits that are compatible with the mango.
Like stone fruits. Stone fruits.
Stone, which kind of stone fruits?
Stone means peaches, apricots.
Oh, okay.
They have a seed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh, okay,
fruit.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, you know, if you have a mango tree that also has grapes.
Cool.
Or bananas.
Avocado.
Well, avocado is a strong fruit.
Yeah.
I will not trade mangoes for anything.
No?
Variety.
No, he's saying a variety of mangoes. Because it says even in even these, what was it about the species? So many thousands of varieties that no one can fully describe them. So it must be also there's these slight variations. All the varieties that we have here all over the world, and they'll have them there, but without, you know, any difficulty. But it's also interesting, they peel the fruit, they do all that, so. You know, and then
you eat them,
because you eat them like sour to sweet.
Also, he mentions dry fruit.
Yes, dry fruit.
To work out trees growing dry fruit.
That's there, or they dry the fruit. But you probably, they will get dry fruit, if you want. I mean,
they have dry fruits which are dried on the trees. It's a special.
Yeah.
It's like it costs, I don't know, thrice or five times. Like
grapes,
apricots.
Apricots?
Oh yeah.
Plums?
Yeah. But that's what they write. I didn't check it. But it's on the
normally
tree.
Normally, there's a process for growing.
Yeah, but.
When you do it on the tree, as they're drying it, the tree is still providing juice, so they become ridiculously sweet.
Right.
And it's not that dry.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's not very
normal,
dry.
Normal fruit and not the dry fruit. It's something.
Yeah, it's something in
between.
It's like
dry feet.
You know, when you go for.
Oh yeah.
When you go during the date seasons in Israel. I mean, before, you know, we know the dates were kind of, you know.
We get a little wrinkled, yeah, a little shriveled, yes.
But on the tree, they're just like bananas. You can literally peel them and eat them like this. Mm. It's just incredible.
Hmm.
I mean, isn't it?
Yeah, like small bananas here.
Yeah.
That's the size of a date, and it's juicy,
yes.
super sweet.
Yeah.
And it rains. Yeah. I mean, when season and it's Rosh Hashanah,
okay. That's
when they are ripened.
Okay.
And then there's so many, it's amazing actually. And birds, everybody, it's just laying on the ground in many places.
Okay.
When we were in Israel with Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was giving class in the
Yeah.
I mean, only with stick talking, boom, boom, you could pick them up like jam.
You just sit there on your bread. Just put sliced bread on it and it just falls
away.
You just cook hard under the tree and just.
Yeah. Just keep stirring while it's just. That would be good.
I mean, you know, the dates in Israel, 1 kilo costs nothing.
Costs nothing, but you can go and just pick them. It's literal.
I mean, you know, they talk about the Majul.
Yeah.
In California, like $20-$30.
Oh, really?
And it's so expensive.
Yes.
I was thinking, Maharaj, that it's this morning we read about meditation on 14 syllable mantra, mm-hmm. and then Srila Prabhupada gave lengthy explanation mm-hmm. how to meditate, and he gave all the details, and this is exactly what Mahaprabhu experienced here. This is he's sharing that exactly just because it was today morning, I can remember. Mm-hmm. So he's showing, you know, in practice that this is what it is. And, you know, all the emotions that he experienced and like that. I'm not sure what is the 14-syllable mantra, because Mahaprabhu was changing 10-syllable mantra, but I guess it's the same source.
It means you have the 18 syllables, but depending on which part you use.
Yeah.
If you use the whole thing, it's 18. But if you only use part of it, you'll get 10, you'll get 12. I guess maybe you'll get 14.
Yeah, because it was mentioned 14. I never heard 14, but why not?
Yeah, so we heard it, yeah. Yeah, because if you say 10, he's only using the last part.
Yeah.
But some might use that by only using the front.
I think Gopkumar, that's what he...
Yeah, they'll use the front part of it. You know, or just depending upon the particular relationship and that one they use. Because the point is the Gopal mantra has all, everything in it.
Yeah.
Chapter 19, the inconceivable behavior of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
It's the end.
20.
What to do? You went to Krishnagar. You know? Doesn't mean that we stop reading. I mean, it's just like, you know.
It's the end.
My
palace. Yeah, see? If you'd gone to Calcutta, then you know, we would have already been, you know.
At the end of the Shatrasik.
Yeah. Adhyaya Prakashika. The following summary of chapter 19 is given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Pravaha Bhasya. Every year, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Jagadananda Pandit to visit his mother in Navadvip and with gifts of cloth and prasadam. Okay, so it was just a yearly thing. Okay, because before I got the idea, he sent him off to be a Navadvip because he was getting too grumpy and poorly. But it was just every year he goes to take things to his mother, spend some time, then come back.
But he didn't send him to Vrindavan first?
Once he went.
Yeah, he once went to Vrindavan. Well, that's because he wanted to go. Jagadananda wanted to go. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't let him go.
But it was after this whole thing, he said, oil.
Mm-hmm. After,
after the oil, he was grumpy.
Okay, then you went.
Okay.
After one such visit, Jagadananda Pandit returned to Puri with a sonnet that Advaitacharya had written. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read it, his ecstasy was so great that all the devotees feared that the Lord would very soon pass away. The Lord's condition was so serious that at night he would bruise and bloody his face by rubbing against the walls. To stop this, Srup Damodar asked Shankar Pandit to stay at night in the room with the Lord. This chapter further describes how Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered the Jagannath Vallabh Garden during the full moon night in Vaishakh, April, May, and experienced various transcendental ecstasies. Overwhelmed with ecstatic love at suddenly seeing Lord Krishna beneath an Ashok tree, he exhibited various symptoms of spiritual madness. Shlokana Sharana 1-16, Jagannath Pandit checks in on Sachimata. 17-30, Srila Advaitacharya's message to Lord Chaitanya. 31-112, the transcendental madness of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Verses 1-16, Jagadananda Pandit checks in on Sachimata. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most exalted of all devotees. The most exalted of all devotees of mothers, spoke like a madman and rubbed his face against the walls. Is that the way it is? Unless he's devoted to his mother. Or even in the English, is this the way the English is?
Yeah.
Matri Bhakta means all devotees of mother. It means he is most devoted. Okay. Overwhelmed by emotions of ecstatic love, he would sometimes enter the Jagannath Vallabh garden to perform his pastimes. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Acharya, and all glories to all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the ecstasy of love of Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus behaved like a madman, talking insanely all day and night. Jagannanda Pandit was a very dear devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord derived great pleasure from his activities. Knowing his mother to be greatly afflicted by separation from him, the Lord would send Jagannanda Pandit to Navadvip every year to console her. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Jagannanda Pandit, "Go to Nadia and offer my obeisances to my mother. Touch your lotus feet in my name. Tell her for me. Please remember that I come here every day and offer my respects to your lotus feet. Any day you desire to feed me, I certainly come and accept what you offer. I have given up service to you and have accepted the vow of sannyas. I have thus become mad and have destroyed the principles of religion. Mother, please do not take this as an offense, for I, your son, am completely dependent upon you. I am staying here in Nilachal, Jagannath Puri, according to your order. As long as I live, I shall not leave this place." End quote. Following the order of Paramananda Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent his mother the prasad clothing left by Lord Jagannath after his pastimes as a cowherd boy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very carefully brought first-class prasadam from Lord Jagannath and sent it in separate packages to his mother and the devotees at Nadia. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the topmost gem of all devotees of mothers. He rendered service to his mother even after he had accepted the vow of sannyas. Jagannanda Pandit thus went to Nadia, and when he met Sachi Mata, he conveyed to her all the Lord's salutations. He then met all the other devotees, headed by Advaita Acharya, and gave them the prasad of Jagannath. After staying for 1 month, he took permission from Mother Sachi to leave. Srila Advaita Acharya's message to Lord Chaitanya, 3:19, 17 through 30. When he went to Advaita Acharya and also asked his permission to return, Advaita Prabhu gave him a message to deliver to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Advaita Acharya had written a sonnet in equivocal language with an import that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand but others could not. In his sonnet, Advaita Prabhu first offered his obeisances hundreds and thousands of times at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He then submitted the following statement at his lotus feet. "Please inform Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is acting like a madman, that everyone here has become mad like him. Inform him also that in the marketplace, rice is no longer in demand. Further tell him that those now mad in ecstatic love are no longer interested in the material world. Also tell Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one who has also become a madman in ecstatic love, Advaita Prabhu, has spoken these words." End quote. When he heard Advaita Acharya's statements, Jagannanda Pandit began to laugh. And when he returned to Jagannath Puri, Nilachal, he informed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of everything. After hearing the equivocal sonnet by Advaita Acharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quietly smiled. "That is his order," he said. Then he fell silent. Although he knew the secret, Srup Damodar Goswami inquired from the Lord, "What is the meaning of this sonnet? I could not understand it." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Advaita Acharya is a great worshipper of the Lord and is very expert in the regulative principles enjoined in the Vedic literatures. Advaita Acharya invites the Lord to come and be worshipped and to perform the worship. He keeps the deity for some time. After the worship is completed, he sends the deity somewhere else. I do not know the meaning of this sonnet, nor do I know what is in Advaita Prabhu's mind. Advaita Acharya is a great mystic. No one can understand him. He is expert in writing sonnets that even I myself cannot understand. Hearing this, all the devotees were astonished, especially Sri Damodar, who became somewhat morose. From that day on, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's emotional state changed markedly. His feelings of separation from Krishna doubled in intensity. Verses 31 to 112, the transcendental madness of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
All right. Firstly, why would Sri Damodar not understand the meaning of the sonnet?
Well, it says he knew, but he just he just asked as if he didn't.
Oh, okay.
Said
now,
although he knew the secret, Sri Damodar Goswami inquired from the Lord.
Okay. Now, so this sonnet means Lord Chaitanya's mission has succeeded, right? He did what he needed to do. He spread the Sankirtan in Bengal. He empowered the Goswamis, gave them instruction. This is all taken care of. Now he can just fulfill the third meaning of his descent, which is to taste Radharani's love for Krishna, right? There's no more demand of rice in the market. Everybody is experiencing Namo Godhead. You're free to go.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's pretty much what he meant.
It appears so.
Unless I'm wrong.
No, I don't think so. Like that. As you see, it says after this, then his emotional mood he became more intense in separation of Krishna. Like that. We shall see. 3:19, 31 to 45. After his feelings of separation, in the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani, increased at every moment. The Lord's activities, both day and night, were now wild, insane performances. Suddenly, there awoke within Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the scene of Lord Krishna's departure to Mathura, and he began exhibiting the symptom of ecstatic madness known as udgurna, unsteadiness or bewilderment. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke like a madman, holding Ramananda Rai by the neck, and he questioned Sri Damodar, thinking him to be his gopi friend. Just as Srimati Radharani inquired from her personal friend, Vishakha, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, reciting that very verse, began speaking like a madman. My dear friend, where is Krishna, who is like the moon rising from the ocean of Maharaj Nanda's dynasty? Where is Krishna? His head decorated with a peacock feather. Where is he? Where is Krishna, whose flute produces such a deep sound? Or where is Krishna, whose bodily luster is like the luster of the blue Indranila jewel? Where is Krishna, who is so expert in rasa dancing? Or where is he who can save my life? Kindly tell me where to find Krishna, the treasure of my life and best of my friends. Feeling separation from him, I hereby condemn Providence, the shaper of my destiny. Footnote 31. This verse is found in the Lalita Madhava 325 of Srila Rupa Goswami. The family of Maharaj Nanda is just like an ocean of milk, wherein Lord Krishna has arisen like the full moon to illuminate the entire universe. The eyes of the residents of Braja are like Chakora birds that continuously drink the nectar of his bodily luster and thus live peacefully. My dear friend, where is Krishna? Kindly let me see him. My heart breaks at not seeing his face even for a moment. Kindly show him to me immediately, otherwise I cannot live. The women of Vrindavan are just like lilies growing hot in the sun of lusty desires, but moon-like Krishna makes them all jubilant by bestowing upon them the nectar of his hands. Oh, my dear friend, where is my moon now? Save my life by showing him to me. My dear friend, where is that beautiful helmet with a peacock feather upon it, like a rainbow upon a new cloud? Where are those yellow garments shining like lightning? And where is that necklace of pearls that resemble flocks of ducks flying in the sky? The blackish body of Krishna triumphs over the new blackish rain cloud. If a person's eyes even once capture that beautiful body of Krishna, it remains always prominent within his heart. Krishna's body resembles the sap of the mango tree, for when it enters the minds of women, it will not come out, despite great endeavor. Is there something special about the sap of the mango tree? Amen. You know? Thus, Krishna's extraordinary body is like a thorn of the Seya berry tree. Krishna's bodily luster shines like the Indranila gem and surpasses the luster of the Tamala tree. The luster of his body drives the entire world mad because providence has made it transparent by refining the essence of the mellow of conjugal love and mixing it with moonshine. The deep vibration of Krishna's flute surpasses the thundering of new clouds and attracts the oral reception of the entire world. Thus the inhabitants of Vrindavan rise and pursue that sound, drinking the showering nectar of Krishna's bodily luster like thirsty chataka birds. Krishna is the reservoir of art and culture, and he is the panacea that saves my life. Oh, my dear friend, since I live without him, who is the best among my friends? I condemn the duration of my life. I think that Providence has cheated me in many ways. Why does Providence continue the life of one who does not wish to live? End quote. This thought aroused anger and lamentation in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who then recited a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam that chastises Providence and makes an accusation against Krishna. Quote, O Providence, you have no mercy. You bring embodied souls together through friendship and affection, but before their desires are fulfilled, you separate them. Your activities are like the foolish pranks of children. End quote. Srila Prabhupada. This verse, quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:39-19, was chanted by the damsels of Braja when Krishna left Vrindavan for Mathura with Akrura and Balaram. The gopis lamented that Providence had made it possible for them to meet Krishna and Balaram in affection and love, and had then separated them. 3:19, 46-77. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, Providence, you do not know the purport of loving affairs, and therefore you baffle all our endeavors. This is very childish of you. If we could catch you, we would give you such a lesson that you would never again make such arrangements. O cruel Providence, you are very unkind, for you bring together in love people who are rarely in touch with each other. Then, after you have made them meet, but before they are fulfilled, you again separate them far apart. O Providence, you are so unkind. You reveal the beautiful face of Krishna and make the mind and eyes greedy. But after they have drunk that nectar for only a moment, you whisk Krishna away to another place. This is a great sin because you thus take away what you have given us. What you have given as charity. O misbehaved Providence, if you reply to us, quote, Akura is actually at fault, why are you angry with me? End quote. Then I say to you, Providence, you have taken the form of Akura and have stolen Krishna away. No one else would behave like this. But this is the fault of my own destiny. Why should I needlessly accuse you? There is no intimate relationship between you and me. Krishna, however, is my life and soul. It is we who live together, and it is he who has become so cruel. He for whom I have left everything is personally killing me with his own hands. Krishna has no fear of killing women. Indeed, I am dying for him, but he doesn't even turn back to look at me. Within a moment, he has broken off our loving affairs. Yet, why should I be angry with Krishna? It is the fault of my own misfortune. The fruit of my sinful activities has ripened, and therefore Krishna, who has always been dependent on my love, is now indifferent. This means that my misfortune is very strong. Unquote. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lamented in the mood of separation. Quote, alas, alas, O Krishna, where have you gone? Feeling in his heart the ecstatic emotions of the gopis, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agonized in their words, saying, O Govinda, O Damodar, O Madhava. Subhadamodar and Ramananda Rai then devised various means to pacify the Lord. They sang songs of meeting that transformed his heart and made his mind peaceful. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lamented in this way, half the night passed. Then Srupa Damodar made the Lord lie down in the room known as the Gampira. After the Lord is made to lie down, Ramananda Rai returned home, and Srupa Damodar and Govinda lay down at the door of the Gampira. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed awake all night, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, his mind overwhelmed by spiritual ecstasy. Feeling separation from Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so distraught that in great anxiety he stood up and began rubbing his face against the walls of the Gambhira. Blood oozed from the many injuries on his mouth, nose, and cheeks, but due to his ecstatic emotions, the Lord did not know it. In ecstasy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rubbed his face against the walls all night long, making a particular sound, gone, gone, which Srupa Damodar could hear through the door. Lighting a lamp, Srupa Damodar and Govinda entered the room. When they saw the Lord's face, they were filled with sorrow. They brought the Lord to his bed, calmed him, and then asked, "Why have you done this to yourself?" Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "I was in such anxiety that I could not stay in the room. I wanted to go out, and therefore I wandered about the room, looking for the door. Unable to find the door, I kept hitting the four walls with my face. My face was injured and it bled, but I still could not get out." In this state of madness, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mind was unsteady. Whatever he said or did was all symptomatic of madness. Srupa Damodar was very anxious, but then he had an idea. The following day, he and the other devotees considered it together. After consulting with one another, they entreated Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to allow Shankara Pandit to lie down in the same room with him. Thus, Shankara Pandit lay at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Lord placed his legs upon Shankara's body. Shankara became celebrated by the name Prabhu, Prabhu Pado Pada Padana, Pado Padana, the pillow of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Maybe he was a better pillow. He was like Vidura, as Sukadeva Goswami previously described him. For when submissive Vidura, the residing place of the legs of Lord Krishna, had thus spoken to Maitreya, Maitreya began speaking, his hair standing on end due to the transcendental pleasure of discussing topics about Lord Krishna, 32. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 3:13.5. Shankara massaged the legs of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but while massaging, he would fall asleep and thus lie down. He would lie asleep without a covering on his body, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would get up and wrap him with his own quilt. Shankara Pandit would always fall asleep, but he would quickly awaken, sit up, and again begin massaging the legs of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this way, he would stay awake the entire night. Out of fear of Shankara, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would neither leave his room nor rub his lotus-like face against the walls. This pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been described very nicely by Raghunath Das Goswami in his book known as Gauranga Stava Kalpa Vriksha.
So he was hard enough, he can stop Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yes, that is it. Because he just would stay up and massage his legs and all that, so that he would be, there would be a mood, would create a mood so that he wouldn't get too.
But it's interesting that in previous pastimes, when they had Lord Chaitanya locked within the Gambhira, they would check on him in the morning, he'd be gone.
Mm-hmm.
But this time he's not going away. I mean, he says he's looking for the door, but I mean, he couldn't go through the walls. He did it before.
Not because he was going out to see Krishna, but now it's in separation.
Oh, okay.
Before it would be he'd go out and see Krishna and see right. The pastimes. So like you see all before, it was all describing
yes,
that.
Yes.
But this time now it's the separation.
Yes.
So where to go? Even though he wants to go out, but that's just kind of like your what do you call it? You know, just. You're inside, you're impatient, so you want to go outside, you'll be impatient, you go back and sit like that. Quote, because of separation from his many friends in Vrindavan, who are like his own life, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke like a madman. His intelligence was transformed. Day and night he rubbed his moon-like face against the walls, and blood flowed from the injuries. May that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rise in my heart and make me mad with love. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed immersed day and night in an ocean of ecstatic love for Krishna. Sometimes he was submerged and sometimes he floated. 319.78-84. One full moon night in the month of Baishak, April-May, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to a garden. The Lord, along with his devotees, entered one of the nicest gardens called Jagannath Vallabha. In the garden were fully blossomed trees and creepers exactly like those in Vrindavan. Bumblebees and birds like the Sukha, Sari, and Pika talked with one another. A mild breeze was blowing, carrying the fragrance of aromatic flowers. The breeze had become a guru and was teaching all the trees and creepers how to dance. Brightly illuminated by the full moon, the trees and creepers glittered in the light. The six seasons, especially spring, seemed present there. Seeing the garden, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was very happy. In this atmosphere, the Lord had his associates sing the verse from the Gita Govinda, beginning with the words, Lalita Lavanga Lata, as he danced and wandered about with them. Udriti, translated from Gita Govinda, Act 1, verses 28 to 39, Song 3. O Radha, alas, how enchanting springtime is when the Malayan breeze arrives and impetuously embraces the tender clove creepers. The kunjas resound with the sweet cuckoo sound of the cuckoos and the humming bees as they bumble to and fro. Oh, humming of bees as they bumble to and fro. Bumble bees because they bumble around. Well, that's very interesting. Bumble bees because... Especially the those bomras, the big ones like what Radharani talked to. Because generally in the West you see the ones, they're bigger but they're fuzzy. You know, they're like yellow and yellow black stripe.
Yellow
and or black. Sometimes they're black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're roundish.
Yeah. But then these bomras, are, the outside is actually hard.
Oh.
You've never seen those? Yeah, they can be like that big. Full-grown boma, but they have this wings the same size as the regular bumblebees. So they'll be sitting on the ground. As we were in one place on the other side, river. Some we went for a program. It was a mud house. It's two-story because over there it's mud's good and they don't get floods. They do two-story mud houses, you know, big walls. And then remember, it says there was. Someplace in the mud there, because you have thick walls, so that they've burrowed holes in that. Now that little kind of like little veranda or something, they would come out and they'd be, you know, they, you know, it's one of those because the scientists can't figure out how they can fly. Okay. By physics, they shouldn't be able to.
Yeah.
But they'll get up and then like that, and they two of them they bang the wall and bonk on the ground, and then bang into something else and follow. Yeah, so then I then never caught that. Bumblebees, because they bumble around. They're not so.
Is that because they're intoxicated?
That could be, but just, yeah, could be. That, just somehow another. You know, so the other, the honeybees and that, they've got that, you know, work mentality, you know, like that. Yeah, these guys don't, you know, they just kind of move around. And,
well, you know, the big yellow ones that we have here? You know, they climb the window and they actually die. They go up the window like this, they go down and an hour later, boom, they're gone.
What, inside?
Yeah.
Oh, if they're inside, as soon as you see any of those flying, you have to put them outside. They don't last.
They fight. They sting.
No, you get your cloth like this. You get your cloth and just go around them. But then when you go in, you roll the cloth in like that. So then they'll be right in inside. It won't be, because if you just go like this, then it might be right there.
That's right.
But you put the cloth... And then you roll it in, and you catch them, and then they'll be inside. Then you take them outside and let them go. Because otherwise, yeah, they dry out. Shyama is blithely enjoying with some fortunate damsels dancing in the festival of love. O friends, the springtime brings endless agony to the forlorn and lonely hearted. Oh, wow. Did the whole song. So it's the whole third song. My dear friend, when husbands are long absent, lonely wives, excited by Cupid, simply weep continuously. But look, Malati blossoms crowd upon the branches while swarms of bumblebees buzz around the abundantly blooming Bokula flowers. And over there, Madhava is romancing and dancing with those other fortunate maidens. Adorned with new leaves, the tamal trees delight in diffusing their musk-like fragrance. The flame-like petals of the palash flowers, exactly resembling Kamade's fingernails, tear at young hearts. The saffron naga keshri flowers appear like the golden scepters of the king of love. And the trumpet patali flowers surrounded by bumblebees are Kamadeva's quiver. The compassionate trees burst into blossom as if laughing at a world gone shameless under the influence of spring. The spiked keitaki flowers, brightly blossoming in all directions and gratifying the whole atmosphere, pierce the heart of forlorn lovers. The pollen of the Madhavika flowers mixes with the exquisite aroma of the Navamalika blossoms, agitating the minds of even great sages who suddenly become bewildered. This enchanting springtime is the natural friend of the young. Trembling with rapture from the embrace of the restless Madhavi vines, the mango trees burst with new buds. Yamuna's pure waters flow nearby where Hari rejoices with lovely damsels in the groves of Vrindavan. Sri Jayadev sings of the beauty of the springtime forest, suffused with Radha's ecstatic transformations of love. May this auspicious rasa-laden song, woven together with pangs of love that fill the forest, awaken remembrance of Sri Hari's lotus feet. Okay. Yeah. O Shaki, look, the spring breeze, laden with the fragrance of keitaki flowers and spreading throughout the forest, a white veil of pollen from the half-open Malika blossoms, is Kamadeva's ally, torturing the hearts of deserted lovers. O Shaki, I have heard that many snakes live in the Malaya hills, whose breeze has surely been overwhelmed by their burning poison. It seems that it is now on its way to the Himalayas to cool down in the icy waters there. The cuckoos are loudly singing kuhu, kuhu in mellifluous voices, jubilant on seeing the tender and tasty mango buds. O Shaki, look, the sweet kuhu kuhu of cuckoos, sporting in the tender mango sprouts, combines with the drone of the greedy bees obsessed with the blossoming flowers, fragrant honey. This clamor raises fever in the ears of lonely wayfarers, pining in separation, who, for a moment's happiness, spend their pain-filled spring days contemplating the delightful dalliance they had enjoyed with beloveds dear as their lives. Sri Radhika's Shaki cleverly searched out Sri Krishna and discovered him nearby, delighting in the enthusiastic embraces of the lovable cowherd damsels who were receiving him with the utmost respect. Attracted by their advances, Murari became eager to enjoy love again, love play, drawing Radha's attention to the scene in it from a hidden place where Shaki spoke to her again.
So this month of Vaishak, the full moon day, is it when Radha and Krishna perform the rasa dance?
In the spring month.
The spring.
Yeah, the spring. Oh. Must be. But that's the time. They have the spring and then they have the fall. Because the spring will have one flavor, the fall will have another.
Yeah.
The other will have that kind of cool and everything, and this one will have the cool of the night from the hot day.
Right.
Like that. And it also has different flowers, you know, generally would be in the season and everything.
The Rasa, which is mentioned in the 10th canto, that's the one in Kartik.
Yes, that's the end of Kartik. Yes. That's that one.
Because I was confused one time that you read that last line in the 10th canto and you don't see Radharani disappear, Krishna disappear. And then the gopi is looking for him. So I asked some pandit who said, no, that does not take place in the spring. When Krishna disappears from the Vasudeva. And they look for him everywhere.
It's you could say it's one basic, one
scenario.
Yeah, one primary, and then what's put together, just like in the Bhagavatam, then you have the aspect of, what is it? I think it was talking about the Varaha.
Yeah.
In the third canto, I mean, in the third chapter of the first canto,
yes.
It puts the Sweta Varaha and Red together. Because it's the same Lord performing pastimes, but then there'll be prominent things here and there, and then you can put them together or just bring on one. So the point is that the gopis have come to that point where they are qualified, you know, or come to the point of absorption in Krishna, that there's enough exclusiveness that then they can come and take part in pastimes, you know, at least be close. But then we have the aspect that they still haven't fully come to the point of that full exclusiveness and that full appreciation of Radharani's position. Because if it's about Krishna's happiness, then if Krishna wants to dance in the middle with Radharani and everybody around, they should be, you know, comfortable with that. Because this is Maharas, this is not on a, you know, a particular night, and this group of gopis is trying to catch him at that. The Mahapis, all of them are coming there, so they should know Radharani's. Otherwise, how does love increase if they don't know, if they already think theirs is the pinnacle, you know, because they'll be heads of their own groups, right? So then others will be following them, but they have to know everybody has to be following Radharani. That's just part of Parah, how it works. You know? So you have to have that aspect where they have come. There's those who couldn't come, they hadn't come to that point of focus enough on Krishna. Then they become qualified, they go to the next dance. But then you have those who have come but haven't come to that point. So then we see is that then you have that whole pastime is there. But it only has to happen once where Krishna leaves like that. Because then they understand the position and everything. So whenever that happens, and then you have that Maharas aspect there with everybody going nicely, it means whether it's happening in one position, whether it's happening in two, it doesn't really matter. It's the continuation of one. That's why he promises the introduction to Rasa dance.
Right.
You know, because the point is Rasa dance will be, once they've come to that full absorption, exclusiveness to Krishna, then they become qualified. That's the whole Bhaktivinoda Kaur mentions that Rati, you know, that attraction to Krishna, when it becomes exclusive to that, to the point where then they qualify to engage in pastimes with Krishna, that's called prema. So that means they have to come to that point for it to function. So that means before that, you're dealing with those in the you know, higher stages of bhava, but haven't come to prema yet. It means the eternal associates, they're there and they're on that platform, but yes. They're going along with whatever Krishna is doing. They're going because that's a constant thing. It's all, you know, special pastimes are going. But all the new, you know, all those groups that, you know, as mentioned, you know, the Devaganas and the personified Vedas, and I think there's one. Yeah, like that, and then, or for those from individual that may not be part of groups, all of them, you know, could be qualified to come up to that platform. So it's not, it means that it may, you know, be that once happening in spring, once happening in fall, because he says that it's, you know, that some didn't get to go and this and that, but the point is that that level of absorption and all that, that's what's important. And then from that, then whether it's explained as separate points or just that one, because it's just that one is explained. We don't see 10th canto explaining another rasa dance. But it's going on basically, you know, on every evening, whether it's a small thing with just one group or whether you have maharas, you know, that when I get the idea, that's once a year, something. But, you know, you're dealing with millions and millions of gopis. And so then the whole pastime, how they're all there, but it still has to be Radha and Krishna, the central feature. Because ultimately they're all devotees of Radha and Krishna.
Yes.
But at the same time, if that's not so prominent, otherwise then you'll get that aspect of reverence and all those things like that. So you want to, you know, it'll be more that mood of where they won't deal like that. So, yeah. So I wouldn't put too much emphasis on that, because it's that's necessary to get to there. So whether it happened that night or happened another night, the point is the whole thing is one continuous pastime. Because even that night went for a night of Brahma.
A night of Brahma, yeah.
You know, which is, what do we say, was 4,300,000,000 years. Yeah, so that's how long it went. So that's why there's no time. Time means time is there, but it's nothing's controlled by time. Time serves Krishna. Here, by time, we don't want it to go. It moves. When we want it to be quick, it's slow. When we want it to be slow, it's quick. But there, it just perfectly matches the pastime. So that's the thing. Time, space, all these things, they just are energies of the Lord. They just serve the Lord.
Pastime takes place on the basis of the love of the devotees for Krishna and how he reciprocates. That's the basis.
Yes. Yes. So like that. So that's why these, certain of those technical, it may be something that's known, but it's not so important. You know what I'm saying? It's not prominent. It's just something that's just the situation or the things like that. So we just have to be careful we don't make those more prominent than we see. It's about the rasa, the mood. Because in here he's saying the situations, but how those are adding to the flavor and the mood and how Krishna's enjoying in that environment. Is that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
Bhagavatam, whatever it explains, it's the biggest picture. And yes. Then within that, then in different other places, it's explained.
I may give a detail, like here Chaitanya Charitamrita, he's explaining the essential point of the pastime, the taste, the rasa, all these kind of things. He says for more detail, then Raghunath Das Goswami is given elaborate description. Or in the earlier pastimes, then you see that he refers to yes. Chaitanya Bhagavata, which I think at the time was called Chaitanya Bhagavata.
Yeah.
There is a description of the Ras Lila in Ananda Vrindavan Chambuk.
Hmm.
I mean, I've never heard anything like it. It focuses on certain aspects of the Lila.
Mm-hmm.
And it mostly focuses on musical instruments,
mm-hmm.
colors of the clothes, right. Movements, songs, rhythm. I mean, it's like you picture this description, it's just mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about really, you know, Krishna, it's about what they do, how they do.
Yeah. Well, it sets the scene, because the point is, if it's a meditation, then the scene is there. You see, it's Divya Vrindad and you're called the Vrima Shrima. It sets the whole scene.
Yes.
And at the end, Shishi Radha Shri Govinda Deva Prishna Vi Sevi Manaswani. It's the last line.
Yes.
So the other establishes what's going on. So in that, then meditation, you absorb yourself. But the point is if you're not qualified, then it doesn't go any more than it's really wonderful.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? It's so nice, what a fabulous place, but that's kind of where it ends. You know, wow. What's for lunch? You know, like that. You know, that.
When I was reading this description, I think I told you the message, I was imagining this grand orchestra. You know, they're all, it's all like perfectly harmonized, calculated. And these gopis play this instrument, and they play it, and then that melody comes in, and this one go back, and this one come forward. And I'm trying to picture what's going on. It's just like, it's inconceivable.
Mm. Yeah, somebody leads. You always have the lead.
Yeah.
And then that's the Veena. That's described by Bharat Muni. Yeah. Then the Rudra Veena is the main. And then other Veenas support that. Then supporting that will be other instruments that play melody, and then the drums.
Yeah.
Yeah, another drum, yes.
Yeah, so you're going to have somebody who's lead. So maybe they mention, maybe they don't. I think it's in the pastime of the holy. Then they mention Matungi sings.
Yes,
yeah, I think sings, she's from the heavenly planet. She comes down and sings.
Yes, yes.
So then you know, everyone will follow that. So then someone has to be, you know. So yes, it'll be a big orchestra.
Yeah, because she turns up and nobody knows who she is. Who is this? She knows. Just follow her.
I mean, I don't want to open Pandora's box, but one of the arguments was that if we, like Prabhu was explaining all the details for Radha Krishna pastimes, and you know, sooner or later it comes to how they dress. If you can't really meditate unless you visualize how they dress.
No, but you still have to see that in the environment that it's in.
Yeah.
Because if you only see them without the environment, then it's not complete, because the Lord, his pastimes are with the devotees in the dham, with the paraphernalia. That together is the sarup. If you only have them without that, that's not actually Krishna's sarup.
Yeah.
So you can say, no, I'm meditating just on Radha and Krishna. No, you're not. You're meditating on an aspect of Radha and Krishna, but the full package is when it's all there together. So that's what we're saying is, for others, it's the whole thing goes together, and you can see the whole thing and the whole, and then the taste out of it, like Lord Chaitanya is doing. But otherwise, to say, you know, that they're meditating, that's nice. And you get to the dress, and that's nice, but that's because you're starting with the place, you know, and other things like that, then you're bringing it closer and closer to that, then you get to them. But you see, Jayadeva very tastefully just says he's doing this, you know, he's playing here with these, or he's doing that there. You know, so in here, it doesn't necessarily get into such... There's a lot of detail for the meditation, but not so much more than that.
Yeah.
So we tend to jump to, you know, that other things. Because they say without that you can't meditate, but the point is if without that you can't meditate means, are you meditating? Because in meditation there's five levels.
Yeah.
So, you know, sporadically that's the lowest level. You know. And so there's some taste, maybe you're getting, it's new. In other words, you read it, it's new, so therefore you're attracted. Read it again, read it again, read it every day. And let's see if, is the meditation going on? Are you looking for some new book now? Like that. So from what I remember from the 90s, it was every class, it had to be a new story. If it wasn't a new story, it was just like you weren't together.
You didn't prepare.
You weren't prepared. You weren't on the cutting edge. So the point is no. It's just Radharani's heard one thing about Krishna. Just one point. And she's meditating on that. So that's the whole thing. Is we take, if we have this overwhelming volume, then yes, then we can be absorbed. But then that just means you don't. You know, it's just like. There's a good chance someone who is a, you know, very expert or even a master of skiing, you know, you could probably give them anything that's slippery on the bottom and they could ski, right? But the newbie, they got to have the best this and that, and they got this one, you know, without these boots and without these buckles, you know, it's just, you know, forget it, it's not even skiing, and they can't even ski. So they have to have the whole thing and everything like that, and everybody knows who the newbies are. You know, so, you know, they sit over there and it's all happening, and the guys that know sit over in the corner, you know, just, you know, in their sweaters and, you know. And
in the, I'm mentioning this because it's recent in my mind, I read it recently during Kartik, the first chapters of Govinda Lilamrita. So the first chapter is night, and then the beginning of the second chapter, Krishna goes home, Radharani goes home. So, you know, it's like everything goes into motion. The gopis come and they're going to give a bath to Radharani and they're going to dress her. And I was going through the whole chapter how Radharani is being dressed. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, this is full-on deity worship.
Yeah.
I mean, if...
But it means you'll see regularly Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions how what they're doing is from the 16 items of worship.
Yes, it is.
This regularly. No, it means he actually mentions it in the text. That is, this is you know, this aspect of the 16 items, this is that aspect. So that's the whole point is Vaikuntha simply means it's been formalized. It's on majesty. While in Vrindavan, it's just on rag. So this idea that spontaneous means I just do whatever the heck I like, that's called crazy.
Yeah.
You know? Because otherwise, how do you... Because you're being crazy, that's supposed to please Krishna? I'm doing whatever I feel like, and that's supposed to be good for Krishna? You know? You know what I'm saying? You know, you have your friend over and sit him down and that, and then you decide to go off and, you know, do something in the kitchen or something, you know, and just leave him there. It's kind of like, you know, you could say, well, when I was, it was spontaneous. I just felt like, yeah, but you felt like it. You know, what does Krishna feel like? So therefore, servant, the servant, the servant is what Krishna feels like. That's what you're doing. Hence, you know, the very night, that you know, famous kind of thing, I think it's poem, I think it's by Raghunath Das or Vishwanath, or the fanning the fan, you know, for the, you know, the ceiling fan.
Yeah.
For Radha and Krishna and watching the pastime, they're just so in ecstasy, and Rupa just comes and says, leave it, go pick flowers. And there's not even one, oh, come on, but it's so nice, just a few more seconds. No, just bang, they're gone. They don't know what's happening. It doesn't matter. Rupa said, they go get the flowers. Then they bring back the flowers. And then... The whole point is redressing Radharani as if she has never been with Krishna.
Right.
Right? So then she sits there, you know, like that, nice, like this. And Lalita comes, because she's been arranging for the rasa dance, because you're going to have each, the pastime just flows. It goes from one into the next, into the next. There's management there. She's managing 5,000 to 6,000 maidservants to clean up the area and make it ready for the rasa dance. You know, a few are there for this, a few are that, but everybody's out there arranging. Vrinda's there, they're all there. So this is that, and then it goes to that. Then they're going to leave, then they go and arrange for the next. So this whole idea is that, you know, so that's right, management is there, but only supports the pastime. So we take it, manage as the main thing. Then, you know, hey, all you guys, you know, stop down, we got to manage this, you know. Then you've missed the whole point. You know, does that make sense? So that's the, you have to see that balance. And so she goes, and when she comes back, then she's surprised. And that surprise that she has, then that's very pleasing to Radharani and Krishna. Because she's kind of like, well, what happened? Oh, you've been sitting, you know. You know what I'm saying? So the thing is it was you're doing something, it's just left for something else. So this whole idea is, no, but it's my Bob, and I want to do this, and I want to do... But the point is, you're doing it, but if it's not under somebody, you, how do you know what you're doing is even of any importance? You know, you can say, no, but Vishwanath, yeah, he's already doing it. You know, he takes the pot to go get the water. Who got the pot? Who polished the pot? You know, he's getting the water. Why, if you're assisting him, then do something else. You know? There's, oh, I have to do this, and I got to do that. And yeah, it's all about you.
I remember one time in Melbourne, they have this jasmine garden. And around September, it just goes completely wild. I mean, like white, you know? And I was on the roster to dress Father Balaba. Prabhupada was dressing Jagannath, and another devotee was dressing Gaudiya. And we finished dressing quite early, and we looked at each other and said, the jasmine in the garden. And we just went into the garden with big black plastic bags, and we just cut everything, brought it back on the altar. I mean, you could just see Krishna's face, and everything else was jasmine.
Well.
And we just went wild, you know. And it was just before reading the ladies and Kroma turns, you know.
And that's Kroma, always a always a moment of suspense.
Yes. What's going to happen? Kroma, you know, he's in front of the curtain waiting for blowing the conch. He goes, what's this? What?
can smell flowers in there. What did you do? Nothing.
I don't know anything. So, wasn't me. It was all for Bob's idea.
So we blow the cones up of the curtain and come on. Who told you to do this? I said, Prabhu, the jasmine is outside. Krishna is inside. You know? He goes, this is not Vrindavan. He said, we worship in the Buddha Vaikuntha here. I'm thinking, but it is Vrindavan.
It is. That's always the point of contention. Because it says, Prabhupada says, we're worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. It doesn't mean we are worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. It means due to our position of consciousness and our realization, we're worshipping Radha and Krishna, but why we're doing it is only is Lakshmi Narayan. We're doing Mangal Arati only because we're supposed to.
Yeah, right.
Not that we want to. You know? Does that make sense? You know, Gopal Krishnamurti maybe because he wants to.
Oh, yes. You know. Anywhere in the world, he's right there.
So that's it, but they make it, no, you can only worship like Lakshmi Narayan. No, but the point is, 16 items, what's given by the acharyas, that's done. And so in season, you can use the fruits and flowers and everything like that. So it is Vrindavan, but we just do that, and it's only because Rupa Goswami said, as one of the items, to offer fruits and roots and flowers according to season, that we're doing it. Otherwise, we wouldn't know.
Mm.
You know, it's just another funny bush outside that, you know, has a lot of flowers on it. You know, it's just like, I think it's in Hawaii, then so many coconut trees, the PWD, the public works, the city, they go out and regulate with the trucks. As soon as the coconuts come out, they cut them off so they don't fall on people's heads. You know, so it's not about harvesting coconuts or anything like that. They're just doing that so they don't care about it. You know, it's a nice tree. Why do we care about the fruit? You know, so. Yeah, but then I think they cut them before. I'm not sure. Maybe they do. Maybe they do properly.
They could kill someone.
The prophet said coconuts have eyes, they won't fall
on their heads. Yeah, they won't fall on their people's head. Yeah,
they have eyes, they won't fall on their head. Bale fruit, now that you've got to watch out. Especially anybody with a bald head. Always fall on somebody with a bald head.
Kadambas.
All the time.
Especially
when
they are
ripe. Yeah, they're ripe. Yeah.
Rain is an expression.
Not good.
But I never heard any time.
Yeah, coconut trees. No, never heard. Doesn't happen. I mean, that's what they're worried about, that it'll fall in on them, but they don't.
They have eyes.
They have three eyes.
They have three eyes. Yeah,
it's like you got it. Yes. That would be tough.
There's literally no purport in that chapter. Holly.
But here, there's one here, the next Lipapa. Yeah, this is a long one, Lipapa. Yeah, there's only two here. Yeah, the next one is about from the 10th canto. Verse Prabhupada's quoting. And then this is about the Brahma Gita. Yeah, so all these things are all bona fide and all that. It's just one has to understand what's the point of it. It's not that you can't worship like that. It's just that, in other words, it has to be according to the proper direction and all that, but that's done. So then you would do these things. So therefore, Rupa Goswami mentions about offering, things according to the season. So then if it's certain flowers in season, it would be natural that you would try, if you have the facility, to include those, more prominently with whatever is available.
So you're saying as long as you have your 16 items covered, anything extra is welcome.
Means it's welcome within the context of you know, what is we see the
pleasing,
you know,
to Krishna.
Yeah, pleasing what we've seen the acharyas do and things like that. You know, like, so how Prabhupada would do things, how we would see, you know, how he'd establish worship in LA, you know, he would try to set the standard there, and then, you know, you think in London there would be some discussions, Vrindavan, Mayapur. You know, mm-hmm. So Mayapur is his place of worship, so he said like that. And so then you know, all those things go on. Because the point is it's the mood in which it's done, it's not the form it is. Because majesty and sweetness doesn't mean that it's a different activity.
Right.
You know, it's just like, let's say, taking breakfast in the White House, right? Then there's taking breakfast in Versailles, right? With Louis, right? So it's a whole scene. So it's way beyond and ritualized and everything. Everything's so exact, and who does what and who stands where, and you know who has the right to do this and that. And so it's so much more, but it still is just breakfast. You know, so it's, you know, so that whole thing comes down to is that you have to catch that balance that these other aspects. This whole thing is, oh, you can't do anything that's not on reverence. The point is, no, we're worshiping. It's Radha and Krishna, it's not Lakshmi Narayana. Because somebody said, no, we're worshiping Lakshmi Narayana. This is Lakshmi. No, it's not. This is Radha and Krishna. But you deal with them only because of the rules, so they reciprocate as Lakshmi Narayana. You know, it's like that. Gopis are offering out of love, you know, like that. And we're sitting going, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1, 2, like that. So, therefore, they're going to like, nice, great circles. Hey, you know? So that's the whole thing, is that it's us. He said, as you surrender, he reciprocates. Like that. And the form of it, the deity worship, the Pancharatrik, has a formal thing, so it's always regulated and everything, because that's also human life, unless it's regulated. Like that. So then you have to see, because otherwise, you know, we do funny things. I think it was in Bombay. One day we went for, it was time to open the curtains, and then the curtains didn't open, and then there's this whole thing, and then why they're not opening, and then somebody was sent back to check with Prabhupada, was there, waiting for darshan. You know, the old, when it was in the tin shed, like that, and then they went back and found out that somehow or another, the pujari or something was dressing, got inspired and painted Krishna blue. And then afterwards they got a little bit worried if it was, you know, what Prabhupada thinks, so they didn't want to open the door. And so when they went back, and Prabhupada was not pleased.
And the Vasa Vihari covered in blue?
Yeah. I'm not sure the detail, but whatever, they made Krishna blue, because he's blue, so they made him blue. And then, you know, so it's not part of a festival, it's not like Chandan Yatra, it's not something, it just, they felt like it. So that's the thing, everything's regulated. So it's a nice balance between the two, is that you're trying to express the affection and all that as much as possible. You make sure that it has the proper form. Because as we saw, these forms come from Vrindavan. You know, someone say, oh no, that's Vaikuntha. It says, no, it's not. It means in that mood, that's Vaikuntha. But they come from Vrindavan. That's where they come from. You know, Krishna always eats at the same times and the same things, the same kind of context. Like here, gopis, you see it's fruits, dried fruits, and sweets. Right? So fruits and sweets go together, despite modern Ayurvedic doctors. I've never heard that in the 70s, 80s, 90s, noughts. Never. Milk and fruit always go together. But now, all the Ayurvedic doctors all over the planet, it's all because they're all, you know, allopath and new age and health food and all that. Now they say if you mix those two, you know, it's very bad and all that. Yeah. They just say that don't mix milk with citrus. Like that. And now they say no fruits, only banana or this or that. And even though, you know, so it's a problem. So they're not following the culture. They're kind of following the tenets of Ayurveda, but they it's influenced by these other things.
Sugar.
Hmm?
Sugar.
Yeah, yeah. That's all. No salt, no taste.
Sugar is not a politically correct word. You can't use it in certain circles. People will really freak out.
Can the husband and wife call each other sugar? Or?
Maybe sweetie. Maybe sweetie because it's not defined.
Or even honey.
Honey and sugar is very American. Sweetie is also American.
Yeah.
Honey is also American.
But I mean, all these deviations come from there also.
But you cannot say brown sugar because
you don't say it's color.
Colored sugar.
Yeah.
But that's the funny part, is before the African Americans in America, they were called colored. That was bad. Then you had to call them black. Now you can't call them black. Now you have to call them colored. It's just, you know, where does it end?
But today morning also I was...
What's that funny, that new kind of thing that is supposed to be a replacement, but it does not really a replacement, something agave or something?
Oh.
Agave.
Agave. So then you can call each other agave. Agave.
It's like agave.
Agava.
Which means love.
Yeah?
Ahava.
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 Ahava. Ahava
means love.
Ahava.
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 So then, Hava Nagila, what does that mean? It means to love. Oh, so the same.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Could I do the Hora? Okay. 3:19, 85-95. As he thus wandered around every tree and creeper, he came beneath an Ashok tree and suddenly saw Lord Krishna. When he saw Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began running very swiftly, but Krishna smiled and disappeared. Having gotten Krishna and then lost him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell to the ground unconscious. The entire garden was filled with the scent of Lord Sri Krishna's transcendental body. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smelled it, he fell unconscious at once. But the scent of Krishna's body incessantly enters his nostrils, and the Lord became mad to relish it. Srimati Radharani once spoke a verse to her gopi friends describing how she hankers for the transcendental scent of Krishna's body. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited that same verse and made its meaning clear. Quote, "The scent of Krishna's transcendental body surpasses the aroma of musk and attracts the minds of all women. The eight lotus-like parts of his body distribute the fragrance of lotuses mixed with that of camphor. His body is anointed with aromatic substances like musk, camphor, sandalwood, and agarwood. Oh, my dear friend, that personality of Godhead, also known as the enchanter of Cupid, always increases the desire of my nostrils." Footnote 33. This verse is found in the Govinda Lilamrita 8.6. The scent of Krishna's body surpasses the fragrances of musk and the bluish lotus flower. Spreading throughout the 14 worlds, it attracts everyone and makes the eyes of all women blind. My dear friend, the scent of Krishna's body enchants the entire world. It especially enters the nostrils of women and remains seated there. Thus it captures them and forcibly brings them to Krishna. Krishna's eyes, navel and face, hands and feet are like eight lotus flowers on his body. From those eight lotuses emanates a fragrance like a mixture of camphor and lotus. That is the scent associated with his body. When sandalwood pulp is mixed with agarwood, kumkum, musk, and camphor and spread it on Krishna's body, it combines with Krishna's own original bodily perfume and seems to cover it. Okay. Kumkum. Okay. That's interesting. Srila Prabhupada. In another version, the last line of this verse reads, Kama Devera Mana Koila Kuri Churi. This means the scent of all these substances mixes with the previous scent of Krishna's body and steals away the mind of Cupid. 3:19, 96, 101. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "The scent of Krishna's transcendental body is so attractive that it enchants the bodies and minds of all women, bewilders their nostrils, loosens their belts of hair and makes them mad women. All the women of the world come under its influence, and therefore the scent of Krishna's body is like a plunderer. Falling completely under its influence, the nostrils yearn for it continuously, although sometimes they obtain it and sometimes not. When they do, they drink their fill, though they still want more and more. If they don't, out of thirst, they die. The dramatic actor Madan Mohana has opened a shop of scents that attracts the women of the world to be his customers. He delivers the scents freely, but they make the women all so blind they cannot find a path returning home. End quote. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his mind thus stolen by the scent of Krishna's body, ran here and there like a bumblebee. He ran to the trees and plants, hoping that Lord Krishna would appear, but instead he found only that scent. Both Rup Damodar and Ramananda Roy sang to the Lord, who danced and enjoyed happiness until the morning arrived. Then the Lord's two associates devised a plan to bring him to external consciousness. Thus I, Krishnadas, the servant of Srila Rupa Goswami, have sung of four divisions of the Lord's pastimes in this chapter. The Lord's devotion to his mother, his words of madness, his rubbing his face against the walls at night, and his dancing at the appearance of Lord Krishna's fragrance. Srila Prabhupada. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that he has been able to describe these four pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the blessings of Srila Rupa Goswami. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was not actually a direct disciple of Srila Rupa Goswami, but he followed the instructions given by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He therefore acted according to the directions of Rupa Goswami and prayed in every chapter for his mercy. Right? So the point is, you're following the instructions. It's always that. So spontaneous means that's what you like to do. Spontaneous is defined as where you don't have to intellectually consider something, whether to do or not. Right? It means the attraction to do it. It means you just naturally want to do it. Right? Darshan is that you want to see Krishna. You know, the kirtan is there, you want to hear, they can take part in the kirtan. You don't have to think about it, oh, it's evening kirtan, yeah, should I go or not, and like that, and they actually should go, you know, it's Harinam. Harinam, they came along, like this kind of thing. That's vital. You know, you're going because you're supposed to, and it's good, it's devotion. It will bring you to that spontaneous platform. So he's taking from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and according to that, he's presenting. So he's not presenting outside of that. That's why then we're very careful to follow the acharyas. And then we see everything goes, can go very nicely. Like that. That's the...
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shri Prabhupada ki jai.